to bring your attention today, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 7. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 7. We know the story that we're going to speak today. Most of us would know this about Daniel and the trial that he went through when he disobeyed the king's decree. Then those presidents, or all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree or law that whosoever shall ask a petition or request or of any god or man for 30 days, unless it's of you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. All the presidents came, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains. They all got together. And O king, we have come up with a thing that we think that you need to sign, a law that says that for 30 days, nobody can ask a petition or request of any god or any other man unless it's of you, O king. And if he doesn't obey, then he'll be cast into the den of lions. I wonder if you'd help me pray today that God will speak to our hearts and give us what is from his heart to our heart today. Would you help me right now? God, we need you today. We cannot do this without you. We are but mere human flesh. Oh God, your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways. At the height of our understanding and thinking that we understand it all, we haven't even began. We are like a grain of sand against your knowledge and your wisdom and understanding. God, would you impart that to us today, that which you want us to hear, and would you help us to receive it with glad hearts, and would you help us to change? In Jesus' name I pray. We give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All the presidents have agreed, O king. The governors are on board. The princes are on board. The counselors agree. And the captains have joined this movement as well, king. This is a big deal. We think that you are so important that we want you to be honored so much that for the next 30 days, nobody can pray to any other god or man and ask any petition of any other god or man, but rather that they have to only ask you. This is to honor you, O king, because you are great. And so the king signed the decree into law. Now, the problem with this, the problem for the children of Israel was that there were a few of the children of Israel that they stood out from the rest of the crowd. How many know that God expects us to stand out from the rest of the crowd? Amen. That's why we teach a standard. That's why we teach a standard of modesty. We're not trying to look like the world. We're not trying to blend in. If you don't look different than anybody else in the world, then people it might question whether you are really standing out against the world. If I talk like the rest of the world, then somebody's going to question whether I'm really separate from the world. If I walk like the rest of the world, if I go to the places the rest of the world goes to that are not holy places, somebody's going to question. So we are, God has expected us to be apart, to stand apart from the world. And there were some of these Jews that were different. They stood apart, and it got them in trouble with man. But, oh, I'd rather be in trouble with man and be in good graces with God. How about you? And there was a man named Daniel. He was a very high up authority in the kingdom. He was a captive. He was a Jew that was brought to this palace, but he was a man of authority. He had a position. He had a title. He had respect from others. And this man, Daniel, was a praying man. Let me just say that just because life goes bad doesn't mean you have to stop praying. Just because things come your way that are difficult doesn't mean you have to stop praying. How many know that it doesn't matter what comes our way, we must continue being praying people. And so Daniel was a praying man. He had been captive, pulled out of his own country, everything he knew, away from his family, brought to a new land, strange land. He had new ways. He had to wear different clothes, different things that happened. But he was a praying man. Now when Daniel knew that this new law was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. Oh my, this means that this wasn't the first time that Daniel had prayed. We've got to make sure that we do not just become praying people when we get in trouble and when we need God's help. We need to make sure that whenever we have a strong need that we don't know our way out of, that's not the time to start praying. But Daniel knew how to pray every day, 3 times a day. And whenever they signed the law, suddenly Daniel was faced with a decision. The Bible says, now when he knew that it had been signed, you see, he's close to the king. He knows what's going on. He hears the law. They say, hey, there's a new law, Daniel. Here's what you got to do. And when Daniel knew it, he didn't say, well, maybe I need to kind of change a little bit. Ooh, what are my friends going to say? Oh, what are my neighbors going to say? Oh, what's my family going to think of me? No. You know what Daniel said? He said, well, I think it's about prayer time. It's about the time I usually pray. So I'm going to go back into my house just like I've always done. I'm going to make sure that my window is open and I'm facing Jerusalem just like Solomon talked about in his prayer. And I'm going to face that holy place that I have been pulled from, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to keep on praying 3 times a day. And if my family doesn't like it, I'm going to keep on praying. If my neighbors don't like it, I'm going to keep on praying. If my teachers don't like it, if my coworkers don't like it, I'm going to keep on praying, because I'm serving my God. I'm not serving other people. So Daniel went in and he prayed, and noticed that when he prayed, he gave thanks. Oh my, I think that is such a key thing for us to catch. So many times, whenever we have a need, whenever there's a trial that we're going through, our prayers can easily become just, oh God, help me. You've got to help me. I need you, Lord. And that's good. That's what we're praying, and we should be praying. But notice that Daniel, he prayed and he gave thanks unto his God right in the middle of his trial, knowing that there was trouble on the waters, knowing that it was storm time coming, but yet he still gave thanks to his God. Then these men assembled, all of those men that had assembled and came up with this wonderfully great idea to propose to the king for law. Then these men assembled, and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. You see, Daniel, he still gave made supplication. He still requested God. He still asked God for help. He asked God for strength. He asked God for deliverance. He did all these things. but he also gave thanks. And so they came and they found Daniel praying and making request unto his God, which was against the law. I wonder, it's been said before, if somebody were to accuse you and you were arrested and put on trial, and the charges against you were that you were a praying person, I wonder, would they be able to find enough evidence to convict you? Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, it's one thing when we just say, now I lay me down to sleep. It's another thing whenever we just get down and get ready to eat our food. And we're like, I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse. And we say, Lord, I thank you for this food. And then we dig in. Those are well, let's keep on giving thanks before we eat. I'm all for that. Let's keep praying before we go to sleep. We might want to kind of tailor the prayers at night a little bit more towards a personal prayer instead of something out of a nursery rhyme book. But it's good to pray before we go to sleep for whatever length of time. It's good to say, give thanks. Thanks unto God in prayer before we eat. Those are good things. But oh, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some deep prayer. I'm talking about some prayer that's just you and God time. I'm talking about some prayer that just shut out the world. I'm talking about some prayer time where everybody knows that you're not available because your phone is not able to just sit and chat. You're not on Facebook. You're not connected on the telephone. You're not texting somebody because you are connected just you and God. It's prayer time in my life. Oh, I wonder if we could be convicted of the charges of being praying people. Verse 15, then these same men assembled unto the king. Oh, boy, isn't that something? Just like school kids. Oh, wow. Oh, did you see what Johnny did? Let's run and tell the teacher. Teacher, 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 did you see what Johnny did? Oh, my, isn't that something? There's something pleasurable. There's something satisfying to some people to be able to tattle on somebody and get them in trouble. And they sit back and go, ha, 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 ha. Oh, look at them squirm. Oh, my. Well, there's some people that, well, let me move on. I could think of a lot of examples in our life that people enjoy seeing other people get in trouble. Amen. Then these men assembled and said, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. What are they saying? They're saying, king, you made a law. You made a decree, signed into law. And there is case law. There is rules that are such that if the king makes a law, it cannot be changed. And king, Daniel is breaking your new law by praying three times a day. And O king, he's making it well known. We've got the evidence. We've got the recordings, so to speak. We've got the proof that Daniel is disobeying you and he needs to be punished according to the law that you said. Remember, O king, that you said that if anybody disobeyed this law, he was going to be cast into the den of lions. Do you remember that, O king? Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now, I want to note something here. Sometimes we tend to look at other people and we think their trial is not very big. Sometimes we think that our trials are bigger than others. Well, let me just say, never judge somebody until you've walked a mile in their shoes. Never underestimate the impact and the challenges and difficulty that they are dealing with if you've not faced the same things. And sometimes we might look at this den of lions and we say, oh yeah, I've been around a den of lions. I went to the zoo one time and I saw these lions behind a cage and they were walking around and they were so pretty. And they really, you know, they roared and all, but I didn't see them doing anything really mean. Well, let me just say, until you get into a den of lions, then it's not for us to think that Daniel's trial wasn't very big. Somebody said one time they were trying to discredit the power of God when it came to the children of Israel walking through the Red Sea. And somebody came, and I don't know if they were a scientist or if they were connected with science somehow and archaeology and all of the other things, study of history, that would impact their study of history. But somebody said one time, they said, oh my, that Bible's something else. You know, they talk about the Red Sea parting and the children of Israel walking over to the other side of the Red Sea. And this person was saying, they make such a big deal about it where there was like the waters parted and there was a big wall of water on this side. And the children of Israel walked all the way across and nothing hurt them. That's just a silly fairy tale, because we have studied and we believe strongly that the Red Sea only had 3 or 4 inches of water in it. Well, they were trying to discredit the Bible and saying that it was no big deal, that it didn't really happen. And thank God there was a Christian that said, you know, that's amazing. You're telling me that the Red Sea only had 3 to 4 inches of water in it? And so you're saying the children of Israel walking over on was not a big deal because there was only 3 or 4 inches of water to wade through all the way across? Wow, what an amazing miracle that even if it was, that God could drown the whole army of Pharaoh in 3 to 4 inches of water and their horses too. Isn't God amazing? Oh, can I tell you that our God is powerful. And the Bible is true. And if it happened before, it can happen again. And so Daniel going into the den of lions, it was a big deal. It was a real, real big deal. And sometimes we can be really brave until we get to the moment. And somebody can tell you at work, or maybe a family member or neighbor tell you, yeah, so-and-so, they're really causing me trouble. And it's easy for somebody to say, well, if it was me, I'd stand up and tell them this and this and this. And I'd tell them, you know, what I thought about them. Well, you know, if you're dealing with somebody that's about 6'8" and 350 pounds, and they're a professional football player, and you are not those that stature and frame, it might change things a little bit if it was you in the situation trying to tell them off. You might change your tune just a little bit. And so Daniel, when he's getting ready to walk into the den of lions, get cast in there, you and I might say, oh, yeah, oh, boy, you know, good old Daniel. I'd be just like Daniel. I'd say, oh, I'm going to pray no matter what. No, a lot of Christians, they quit praying just because they lost their job and they just stopped praying. Some people lose their house or car and they stop praying. Some people, somebody says something about them on Facebook and they stop praying. Oh, can I tell you that you and I, many of us would not be able to stand in the seat where Daniel stood and face the king and say, King, I'm not going to stop praying. Oh, can I tell you that the devil is always roaring? He's always trying to get you to stop praying. And you and I have got to keep on praying in the devil's face. It doesn't matter what comes our way. If I come to church and somebody takes my seat, I'm going to love them and keep on praying. If somebody takes my parking spot, I'm going to love them and keep on praying. If somebody talks bad about me behind my back, I'm just going to love them anyway, and I'm going to keep on praying. If all of a sudden I go to the cupboards and there's no food left to eat, I'm still going to keep on praying. If I don't know which way to turn and my electricity's going to get shut off, I'm just going to keep on praying. I'm not going to stop praying no matter what I'm faced with. And Daniel was brought before the king, and they cast him into the den of lions. Now, there's a very important part here that I want to take a moment and focus on in this verse 16. Now, the king spoke and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." This is a non-Christian. I know back in those days they weren't called Christians. Jesus Christ, that name had not been revealed. The Christ, the Messiah, had not come yet. But I use the word Christians to relate to us today. He was not even a Christian. He was not one that served the one true God. And yet, Daniel's example and witness was so strong that the king knew that he served God continually. Oh, there's a lesson in there. We don't have any room to be just Sunday Christians. We don't even have room to be Sunday and Wednesday Christians. Our neighbors are watching. Our family's watching. People around us everywhere we go are watching. And they know whether we are part-time Christians or whether I'm a Sunday Christian, a Monday Christian, a Tuesday Christian, a Wednesday Christian, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday Christian. I will be a Christian full-time, and I will serve my God continually. Too many people think, well, I'll slip off when I go out of town and I'll go to Vegas and I'll have me some fun because nobody will see me there. And then when I get back, I'll just go to church and act as holy as I've ever been or anybody else. Well, can I tell you that God sees, and somebody in your life is going to come across your time, and if I could put it that way, and somebody is going to recognize that you do not serve your God continually. Oh, what a reproach on the kingdom. What a witness that can be destroyed whenever we are not serving God continually. Somebody said, well, I don't always feel on top of the mountain. That's okay. You can be down in the lowest valley and still serve God. Somebody says, well, I've made some few mistakes along the way. Then get up, find repentance, and keep on marching. It's not time to stop serving God just because we failed. If there's ever a time to ramp up our serving God, it's after we fail. That's a good time to get back up, to look at the devil and say, devil, you might have got in a punch now, but you just wait, because I'm getting back to my praying. I'm getting back to my Bible reading. I'm getting back to my church going, and I'm getting ready to take you out and cause you a lot of heartburn, Mr. Devil. You're not going to keep me down. Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Oh my, can you imagine? This is a king that is not a believer, and he has enough faith to say this. And a stone was brought, and they laid it upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now, the king was on Daniel's side. The king was very sorrowful that he had made this law. The king was very distraught thinking about what had happened to Daniel, because whenever he made this decree, he wasn't thinking. He was actually, he was tricked. If I could use that word, he was tricked into this law. When these men all assembled and made this law, there was one man that they were out to destroy, and that was Daniel. And so the king, he's sorrowful. He has them put the stone in front of the den so that Daniel can't get out, and he seals it with his sign there, his symbol, and that way that if anybody were to move the stone, that they would know that it had been moved, because the king had sealed it with his seal, so that nobody could change the outcome. Sometimes when you get in your trial, you are going to be separated from anyone that you would have ever put hope in that might be able to help you. There's times when we put our faith in mama, and then there comes a point where mama's not there. There's times when we put our faith in daddy, and there's a time when daddy's not there. We put our faith in the law and 911, and there's going to be a time when you're going to call 911 and it's not going to work for you. We put our faith and trust in doctors and nurses, and there comes a time when even the doctor looks at you and says, there's nothing more I can do. Oh, there will be times in our life that we will be separated from any level of help that we would ever put faith in this world, in this earth. Daniel was there. He's in the den of lions. They rolled a stone in front of it. Nobody can come save him. And Daniel can't escape himself. He is trapped in a den of lions. Now, if you have gone to the zoo before, and you have ever been there at feeding time, you probably know that lions are not bashful when they're hungry. When lions are hungry, they do not just sit down, take the cloth napkin and tie it around their neck, take the fork and very daintily take a knife in the other paw and begin to slice off tiny little bits of meat, grab them with their fork, put them in their mouth, savor the taste, and chew very slowly. No. Can I tell you that when a lion's hungry, he gets down to business really quick? It would seem, the Bible does not put the adjective of hungry there with the lions that I have seen, but it would seem to us that the lions would be very hungry. Why? Because if they are going to throw someone in the den of lions as a punishment, they're going to want the lions to be hungry. And I just have a feeling that these were some wild lions that couldn't wait for their next meal. And here comes their next meal. Getting cast down in that lion's den. This was going to be a very good day for the lions. Today, they're not just going to feast on a little rabbit. They're not going to feast on just a little bird somewhere. But these lions are getting ready to get a full-sized human. Oh, my. This is going to be so good that we're going to pick all the meat from the bones. There's not going to be anything left. In fact, we're going to be so busy doing it that we're probably going to break quite a few bones crushing him trying to get that meat off, because we can't wait for this meal. This is going to be a good, good meal. Then the king went to his palace and he passed the night fasting. He didn't have any instruments for music brought before him. His sleep went from him. It was a long night for the king. So the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. Now it's not in my message to talk about the faith of this king, but I will tell you, this king had some faith. This king had some faith. You know, there's a lot of people that give up on us way too soon. There's a lot of people, as soon as we start going through a trial and it looks like it's over, boy, they start distancing themselves. You know, we've got a little money, or we're able to help people with this or that. You know, maybe you've got a family member that needs some food or needs some money or help somehow. And boy, you're their favorite family member when you got money to help them. But as soon as you don't have any money to help them, and all of a sudden now you don't hear from them anymore, and a kind of a distance gets happening there. What's going on? Let me just say that there's a lot of people that were following Jesus for the fish and loaves. But thank God he still had compassion and fed them anyways. But some people were not interested in taking up their cross and following Jesus. They were only interested in getting some fish and loaves. And then, I've got a doctor's appointment, Jesus. I'd hang around and follow you, but I've got a trip to go on. I've got a family event. I've got things to do. I've got work. I've got so much in my life that I don't have time for you, Jesus. Maybe one of these days we'll catch up again, but thank you for the fish and loaves. This king had faith. He believed in Daniel's, he had hope, if I could put it that way. He had hope and enough faith to believe that Daniel's God could deliver Daniel, to the point that he stayed up all night. There's some people, they're not, you might think they're your friend, but they're not really staying up all night worried about you. To your face, they're your friend, but when they're, but otherwise, if they think you're in trouble and if they think that maybe you have fallen or you're not right, you know, you need some encouragement, you're not going to find them. They're going to be sleeping through the night. Don't dare call them at 2:30 in the morning and expect them to pray over the phone with you, because after all, they've already given up on you. Can I tell you that God will never give up on you? Other people will give up on you, but God will never give up on you. Oh my, it would do us good to stop putting our faith in people. Stop believing that people are our answer, but rather to believe that God is my answer. If everybody leaves me, I'm still going to hold on to him, because he is an ever-present help in time of trouble. The king arose very early in the morning after a sleepless night and went in haste unto the den of lions. Why would he go and hurry to get to the lion's den if he believed that Daniel was dead? I'm telling you, I don't want to take too long on this, but this king had some faith. Why did he have faith? Why did he believe that God could do it? Can I tell you why it was? Not because of his personal relationship with God, but because of the witness that Daniel was all of the time before. Because Daniel wouldn't stop praying when times went bad. Daniel wouldn't stop praying when he was threatened with a law decree that's going to send him off to the lion's den. And you and I, if we expect to win our lost loved ones, if we expect to win the world, if we expect to win our city, we've got to be a witness. They've got to see something different about us. We can't just walk and talk like them. We can't just dress like them. We've got to be different. They've got to know that we are different than everybody else, because we are not of this world, but we are of another world. So the king went to his palace, rose very early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. He has hope that Daniel could be alive, but he's so worried. What if he didn't? I know that his God can save him, but what if Daniel is gone? And with a lamentable voice, he cried to Daniel. And he said this. He said, "Oh, Daniel." Now, let me just say that if you've really, really, really been a witness for God, if you're living your life as a true Christian, means you can't. You're gonna be separate from the world. You can't do all the things that the world does. You can't watch all the stuff the world watches. You can't go to all the places the world goes. You can't drink and do all the things that the world does. You can't defile your body the way that other people do. And if somebody has seen you, and they have seen you as a true Christian, when they run into somebody else and somebody else says, "Oh, so tell me about them. Are they, you know them? Are they, you know, are they like wild and crazy?" And that person, if you've really been the witness that you should be, that person is going to describe you as a Christian, as somebody that is different. And the king came to Daniel and he said, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God." Oh my, servant of the living God. What an honor to be called a servant of the living God. What is a servant? A servant is one that serves. A servant is not one that shows up on Monday morning with their truck and trailer and gets out their lawn equipment and mows your yard, and when they're done, they drive away. They have been a provider of a service, but they are not your servant. You can't just call them anytime and say, "Get over here. I want you to go and pick up some groceries for me. Get over here. I want you to sit and play some music for me so I can sing asleep. Get over here. I need you to wash out my bathtub and my sink and my toilet. A servant, you're not going to tell the man that mows your yard to do that because he's not your servant. A servant is one that is always on duty. Now, God, don't ask me to stay modest on this vacation trip we're going, because after all, I'm always modest at home, and I try to do things because I know everybody's watching me, and my pastor might find out. So when I'm at home, I try to dress modest, and I don't go swimming in the public swimming pools. But see, we're going to be out of town, a long ways away, and we're going out of the country, and nobody's going to know. And so, God, don't expect me to have to be modest. I'm getting into that new bathing suit when I go over to that destination. Oh, that resort that we're going to. Oh, my, it's got quite the place to go swimming, and I'm going to get out there and I'm going to go swimming. Nobody's going to know who I am. So, God, don't expect me to be your servant during my vacation. This is me time. This is my time. I've got to have some time. I can't always serve in the army of the Lord and fight, 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 fight. Sometimes I've got to get away and have a good time. Well, can I say that, just like Jesus said, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Somebody said, I don't get it. You know why? Because when you live for God hard, it's easy. But when you live for God easy, it's hard. When you sign up in the army of the Lord, if you are all in and you are all committed, oh, you might be physically exhausted. You might be financially drained, but you are spiritually strong. And it's not a problem to serve in the army of the Lord and fight, 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 fight. Why? Because you've got the strength, because you're all sold out. You are a servant of God. You are not just a part-time Christian. So he came to the den and he said, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God, who you serve continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? I know I'm taking a little time here, but I'm telling you, I love the way that it says, is your God able to deliver you? Not was your God able to deliver you. Can I tell you, he is a present God. He's not a God just that did something for me in the past. He's not a God that just healed my body a long time ago, but he is still my deliverer. He is still my healer. He still is my righteous deliverance. He is my God today. And this king said, is your God? That is faith that Daniel is still alive. Is your God able to deliver you from the lions? Can I tell you, Daniel still wasn't out of the lion's den. Usually, when we look through this story as a Sunday school lesson, as a Bible study lesson, as a preaching sermon, great content that we can get from that, but usually it ends once, more or less, the story ends, the impact of God's deliverance is complete, if you will, in our stories, whenever Daniel answers the king and he's still alive. I want to remind you that just because Daniel was still alive in the morning doesn't mean that he wasn't going to become breakfast before he got out of that lion's den. Sometimes we think, oh my, the storm has passed. I can start letting go of my prayer life. Oh my, the storm has passed. I can stop being so intense on living for God. No, can I tell you that you better wait until you're completely out of the lion's den before you stop your praying. Oh, Daniel, you're still there, but is your God able to deliver you? Because you're not out yet. You're not out yet. And Daniel said, O king, live forever. That was a saying of respect to royalty. O king, live forever. My God. Oh, my God. He's my God. He's not just God. He's not just a God, but he's my God. Oh, my. Can I tell you that If somebody is not married to someone else, if a girl looks at a guy and she's not married to him, she can't say, "There's my husband." Why? Because she's not married to him. Can I tell you that if a child is going to be adopted by parents, before the legal adoption, they can say what they want, but legally, when they have not yet completed the adoption, they cannot look at that child and somebody say, "Who's that?" And they say, "That's my child." Why? Because it is not done yet. And you and I, if we are not serving God, then we've got to be careful about saying, "He is my God." Oh my, I know that there's a lot of people that don't serve God that would say, "He's my God." Then what do you call number 53 on the football field down there that you worship so much that you wear his jerseys? You've got him posted in your garage. You've got his helmet. You've got all the video clips and the replays of all of his great acts that he's done. And everything you talk about, when it's church time, if number 53 on the football field is playing, "I'm sorry, but I can't go to church today. I'll go next week." Oh, can I tell you, I wonder who your God really is. If somebody says, "Oh my, oh, that movie star is coming out. They're releasing a new movie in the theaters this Wednesday night, and I have to go see it because that actor or actress, oh, I idolize them. I think they are just it. And so I'd love to go to church Wednesday night, but you see, I can't miss the premiere of this movie." Can I say we have no business going to the movie theater anyways? But can I tell you that we sure don't need to be putting aside church to go and look at our idol on the big screen? Oh my, but Daniel didn't have this problem. Whenever the king came and asked him if his God's able to deliver him, he said, "My God, my God, my God," everybody say, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me. Oh my. I just, you know, if we knew that we could go into the lion's den and we knew that we were going to be protected and that the lions were not going to hurt us, but we could go in there and just spend maybe 5 minutes, 20 minutes walking around and watching these beasts walk around us, looking at us, growling, baring their teeth, but we knew that God had shut their mouth and they could not hurt us. Wouldn't it be kind of exciting? Yeah, it'd be kind of like almost like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute, you know, and then finding your parachute halfway down. You know, it'd be pretty exciting. It would be a thrill if we went into a lion's den. But can I tell you that God shut the lion's mouth, but I believe that the lion still had the capacity to make noise. Daniel did not say that he shut their voice box. Daniel said, the angel came and shut the lion's mouth. How do you know the angel came? Well, I don't know. You can say what you want, but I believe that the reason Daniel knew that God had shut the angel had shut the lion's mouth is because God sent the angel and Daniel saw him. Can I say that if you and I are talking and communicating with God, when we get in tough times, times are tough, the storm's brewing, but not only will our God help us, but he'll actually communicate with us. He'll hang out there. He'll stay in the ship until the waters are the storm is calmed. And you say, "Well, I don't feel him." Well, sometimes he might be testing us, but there's other times that it's because we don't have our mind on him. We're too focused upon the storm, like Peter was, and the waves, that we take our eyes off of Jesus and we feel alone and we start to sink. But oh my, Daniel is in the lion's den. The Lord's angel came and shut the lion's mouth. And I just believe that the angel probably hung out a little bit and talking to Daniel, saying, "Yeah, Brother Daniel, I'll tell you, you ought to see the wonders of glory. You ought to, let me tell you some stories about some things that I've seen before." I just feel like that Daniel, while he was in the lion's den, he went ahead. hadn't had church. I just have this feeling that when Daniel was in the lion's den, that he didn't stop praying. He was used to praying three times a day, and it's time to keep on praying. The lions are roaring around me. They're walking around me. I don't know what's going to go which way, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know right now their mouth is shut. I'm trusting in my God, and it's time to have good church. Oh, my. We have got to remember that God is our forever God. He said, as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt, and God has protected me. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. You know what? I just have a feeling. I can just picture this old king. All the men are assembled around laughing and telling jokes about how there's probably nothing left but bone powder in the bottom of that lion's den. And I can only imagine whenever the king says, go take up Daniel out of the lion's den. And I wonder if there was any of these men that said, no, king, you can't do that. Because don't you remember that he has to be cast in there, and that's what the law said? And I have a feeling I can just picture this old king saying, let me tell you boys something. I don't care if you leave him in here for an hour or you leave him in here for 100 days. Those lions are never going to touch him, because he's got a king that's mightier than me that he serves. And so he is no longer under my law, but he's under the law of his God. Bring him up, boys, because he's not going to bow to the law of man. And so they commanded Daniel to come out of the den. Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. That's why he was delivered, because he believed in his God. That's why the lions didn't eat him, because he believed in his God. I like that song Ronnie Henson sang, a gospel song called Praying Man. Part of that song says, they led him to the dungeon, and they threw him in. He was on his way to supper, and the meal was him. But God knew how to change their dinner plans. Never throw a hungry lion in the den with a praying man. Oh, can I tell you, the devil doesn't like it when you start praying. The devil doesn't like it when you start serving God with all of your heart. The devil doesn't like it when you make up your mind that you're not going to go with the parties, and you're not going to go with the world, and you're not going to engage in all of the idolatry of our present world. As I get ready to close, I want to read I'm going to read a slew of verses here. I've got a bunch of them. They're just little pieces out of each verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 9. God is faithful. God is faithful. 2 Corinthians 1 and 18, and also in John chapter 3 and verse 33 says, God is true. Hebrews 12 and 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Can I tell you what consume means? It means there's nothing left. Oh my. 1 John 1 and 5, God is light. 1 John 4 and 8 and verse 16, God is love. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, God is no respecter of persons. John chapter 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit. Matthew 22 and 32, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Isaiah 12 and 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Psalm 46 and 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 47 and 7, for God is the King of all the earth. Psalm 75 and 7, but God is the judge. Psalm 99 and 9, the Lord our God is holy. Psalm 116 and 5, God is merciful. 2 Samuel 22 and 33, God is my strength and power. Galatians 3 and 20, God is one. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Mark 12:29, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, it's one Lord. James 2 and 19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Can I say that today when you're going through a trial, when you're going through something that you don't know, just start praying. Just start remembering what God is, because the devil is going to tremble when you remind him who God is.